Hello there. We'd like to welcome you to the virtual kitchen table. We're Erin from Everlearning, Ashley from Ashley as Mama and Storytime Shelves, and myself, Hayley from Taking a Kinder Path. We're gathering for conversations about family life and home education, particularly unschooling, which is sometimes known as self-directed learning, or as I like to call it, natural learning. We'll be sharing our experiences and ideas, learning as we go. We hope you'll pull a chair up to the table and join us.
Welcome back to the virtual kitchen table. Today it's just myself and Ashley, so we're missing Hayley today, but I think the topic that we're going to dive into, I think we definitely have some pieces of hers that we will link that will be pretty relevant. So we'll still kind of get to a sense of her perspective on things that way, I think, which will be kind of nice. So we are talking about the idea of fear of missing out. And it's funny, Ashley, and I guess I should say hello, Ashley. I didn't even really say hello to you.
Hi, Erin. That's okay. It's because we already did before we pressed record. Hello.
Right? We're just getting so casual now. It's like, oh. It's actually kind of funny because I shared a little piece of this with you before we hit record, but I was taking notes this morning, and it's funny that our topic is fear of missing out, because I'm putting down ideas and thoughts, and I started like having a fear of missing out of like, oh, is there going to be time to say this? And is there going to be time to say that? And will I remember? So it's funny how, like, I think we're going to talk about it in relation to our role as parent, and probably specifically as home educating parent. But it's kind of like, I think it's like a prevalent idea that is with a lot of us a lot of the time, right? It's just like, either are we going to think of the ideas, or is there going to be time? So yeah, it just kind of, it was interesting to me. I'm like, oh, I even have a fear of missing out as far as this conversation. So it's just, yeah, it's kind of like a societal thing, I think. But I think the reason that we kind of got talking about this, and I guess it was something that came to my mind this time of year for people, especially if you're home educating, is that we're kind of coming into this, you know, the later part of the summer, and it's when a lot of talking starts to happen about back to school. So whether that's a fear of missing out because, you know, school is the conventional norm in our society. And so there is, you know, there's an assumption, obviously, that there's some stuff happening there. So if your child isn't going, they're potentially missing out on those things, right? So I think that there's just that very natural sense of like back to school can bring up some feelings for us if we're not doing that. But then I think there's like a secondary piece that's happening, which is even within the home education world, there's lots of, you know, I think we live in this very global sort of circle now where we're seeing what other people are doing and we're hearing their ideas. And so you might hear about a parent doing planning or purchasing a certain curriculum or embarking on world schooling or like any number of things that people are doing. And it's almost like there are so many options that are right at our fingertips now that it's pretty hard not to have a little bit of a feeling of, oh, man, like that's kind of cool what they're doing. Or, you know, this person is talking about how they're blocking off the next week for planning purposes. And like, you know, we're heading to the movies this afternoon. You know what I mean? Like, shit. I think whenever you hear that somebody's putting a lot of like effort into something, there's that sense of like, oh, you know, maybe I should be too. And so I think, especially if you're a newer home educator, that can be probably pretty daunting. And then I'll just throw this in too, as somebody whose kids are grown, you know, I've been kind of having this other angle of things as I hear my kids talk about things, or I hear about things that their friends are doing or their coworkers are doing, where I'm like, oh, should we have should we have done that? Should I have maybe, you know, did we introduce enough of this? Did we offer enough of this opportunity? So I think it's like fear of missing out on what other people are doing, but there's this kind of interesting twist that I sometimes feel of like fear of missing out on my own ideas, if that makes sense. It's like I had ideas and plans and visions, and sometimes for a variety of reasons, they don't work out, but sometimes it's literally just a matter of, I didn't get to them. Like there just wasn't time. And so I think we can actually, there can be a little bit of a scarcity mindset that happens even within our own plans. But anyway, I would love, you know, I would love to hear what some of your thoughts are, Ashley, or kind of what comes to mind for you around that idea of fear of missing out.
Yeah. And I think it really is such a great time to be thinking. I mean, it makes sense for thinking about it this time of year. We know other people are. When I did a quick search of specifically home educators and fear of missing out, I didn't actually end up going down that path too far, reading too much that sense, because that FOMO, that fear of missing out, like you said, is so prevalent in all areas of life, it seems, probably more so these days. And there was just article after article after article of people writing and thinking about the fear of missing out. So yeah, I think it makes a lot of sense to be talking about it with all the back to school stuff that's going on right now. We know it's on people's minds. And I think some people are maybe embracing that a little bit and excited about it being that time of year, whether they're home educating or not. And then there's other people who are probably like, ah, not yet, too soon. Don't want to start thinking about that stuff right now. And I don't know that I fall into either of those kind of categories. I'm a little bit more of, not that I never experienced that feeling of fear of missing out, but as far as the being a home educator and other kids getting ready to go back to school, yeah, I think it's because we've been home educating for a number of years now. So there's that. We're very used to it not being back to school for us this time of year. And I think it actually just makes me appreciate home education that much more, that I kind of go the other way where I'm like, oh, thank goodness we don't have to be getting ready. Or like, I can even feel it in my stomach. I think from when I was growing up, this time of year, when you started seeing like the back to school commercials and stuff, or the stuff in the stores. And I was like, oh, summer's going to come to an end and it's going to mean back to school. And I, as a kid, would have had some excitement around that as well. But I think mostly, and especially as I got older, it was kind of dread, right? Like, oh, I'm dreading the end of summer and going back to school. So I kind of, yeah, I'm just grateful that we don't have that. But I know not everyone feels that way. I think it makes a difference, probably based on like why you're choosing to home educate. I would probably have a lot more fear around like if it was my kids going back to school, and a lot of worries around what that would look like and what that would mean. But yeah. And then like what you were saying about the fear of missing out as a home educating family, and you do, I giggled when you said, cause I've seen that before where like a home educating parent will post that they took the week to plan their homeschool year or the fall for homeschool. And, or, you know, you just see that. I see it on Instagram posts, and I have had those thoughts where I'm just like, what are they planning? How much are they planning? And also how much are they planning that they actually implement? And that's just not what we do. And I understand that that works for other people. But it does, it can, you see the other things too. Like, can you think about what they're planning as far as like day trips, what groups they're going to be getting together, like other homeschool groups they're getting together with. I think you mentioned like world schooling, you start seeing like big plans too. And it can kind of, I think for me, it usually inspires me a little bit with certain things, definitely less around the academic planning and more around like the other type of fun home education plans we make. It can kind of bring out some of that excitement as like, kind of it being another year. But I also don't think about September as the start of a new year so much. And I know you've talked about that before, you've written about that before, about kind of like the school calendar versus the like seasonal calendar. Yeah, it does get me thinking about that type of stuff, but for the most part for us, it just feels like summer gets extended and our summer doesn't end. The last week of August is not the end of summer for us. And as we talked about, I think you commented on my one post about how once school goes back in and it's still summertime, like the places we visit are less crowded. So I just get excited about that stuff, and more so get excited for the fall season, like the next season, and what that will mean, because our days obviously look a little bit different as the weather starts to cool down and our activities look different and stuff. So kind of get excited about thinking about what that will look like, just as like fall changes into winter and then winter into spring. We've kind of fallen more into that rhythm, I think, and away from the school stuff. So my, as I mentioned before we pressed record, I'm a little bit all over the place with the thoughts around this topic, but hopefully that captures some of where I'm at.
No, I love that. And I appreciate you. I can't think exactly what you said, but it was just the idea that, like for some people, it is a really exciting time of year. And for some kids, it's a really exciting time of year. So it's not like suggesting that it has to be one way or the other. But just that we don't kind of need to get drawn in with comparisons to what is working for other people. And, you know, I was, you know, just kind of thinking about the whole idea of planning or not planning. So just to kind of hang with that idea for a minute, even planning or not planning or moderate, you know, in the middle planning, mm-hmm. flexible planning. I feel like that's an interesting, so on the one hand, you can have people who do a lot of planning, making an assumption that somebody who doesn't plan as much is maybe, I don't know, a little bit irresponsible or a little bit too flighty or whatever. I'm not mm-hmm. sure what the word I'm looking for is, but, and then the flip of that, I think, can be that we can get so kind of caught up in a little bit of a, like a wild and free narrative, that then people who do really find that it works better for their family to kind of have some things set out and some things kind of really well feeling solid for them, like that's okay too. And I think we can, I think maybe when we're operating outside of conventions, so we're moving outside of the school system, the tendency can be to get pretty defensive. And so, you know, you see people doing a lot of planning and you think, oh man, they're not very spontaneous, you know, whatever. But it really, it just comes down to so many things, right? And I was thinking about this even in respect to homeschool styles. And so you might have somebody who's like, because I think we make assumptions, right? So you might have somebody who is a really traditional, has kind of a really traditional approach in their homeschool, and that works really well for them. And you might jump to the idea that they have a real planning personality, but actually I know people who it's because they don't have they don't consider themselves planners, and they do have a really flexible personality, that it works well for them in this particular area to have kind of like a curriculum in a box, because actually there's not, in the way that they do it, tons of planning. It's like, we can just keep living in the now because we've checked this box over here, if that makes sense. So it's kind of like they have this area that's pre-planned and organized, and they have found a company that works, you know, for their whatever, their learning styles, their values, whatever it is for their family, their schedule. And so then it kind of frees them up to kind of have this spontaneous thing. And then I think if we think about like what we might consider the other end of the spectrum, which many people consider to be unschooling, there are unschooling people who just by nature are real planners. It doesn't mean it's not really related to that or not. I mean, we talked about this even in our conversation with Haley had that, what I think was a genius idea about doing an episode about lists, right? And it was so interesting to hear how that is so intuitive for her and helpful for her to list things out and write things down in the variety of lists that she has, because I think people have a certain idea about what type of homeschooler makes lists and what kind doesn't. And it's so much about like just our individual personality and then the personality of our children, because some of us have kids who, you know, if you box them in too much with plans, like you're wasting your time. Yeah. And also might have kids who challenge us to please give them an answer about like, what is this fall going to look like for me? What's the plan? Right? Like, what are the goals? Because some kids do a lot better with that as well. So I just like the idea that we can talk about this more from the perspective of like our own consciousness or self-reflection around, I guess, maybe like envy or insecurity, rather than it being about these people should be planning more or these people shouldn't be planning so much, right? It's so much more, I think, kind of fun to just look at it, just kind of be curious about it for other people, but also reflective about like, I wonder what that's about for me, that I'm a little worried that we're going to, you know, that doesn't world travel doesn't work for our family, or structured homeschooling doesn't, or school doesn't work for our family. So yeah, just looking at it from our own self-reflection angle, I kind of like that better. And like, yeah.
Yeah, I like that. Reflection, curiosity, and the other word that's coming to me is openness and maybe flexibility around all of that. And I think, yeah, what you're saying, like it comes down to like what works for you and your family, and that typically I think takes some time to figure out. And as you figure it out, people grow and change and things shift around and different things will work different years. And for people who are just starting to home educate, and this was definitely true for us, but probably true for a lot of people. I mean, the way you start off isn't usually, I mean, it really does change quite a bit because you've not home educated before. Maybe if you grew up as a homeschooler, it would be different. But if you've not homeschooled before and you're home educating your children, this is something new to you and you're going to have to figure it out. And you can't really go to like a seasoned homeschooler and say, how do I do this? And get like one straightforward answer, because it really is different for everyone. And it just takes some time to figure it out. And because it is, it's quite different. It's so common to see people post, and I love it, especially this time of year, I'm seeing posts in different homeschool groups, you know, something along the lines of, this is our first year homeschooling. Here's what I'm thinking. You see so much intentional thought put in by these parents. And it's so wonderful to see, because you know that they just have like these amazing ideas for their kids and they're just wanting to do what's best. And they, I'm sure, want some comfort for themselves because they're, you know, taking on that responsibility and stuff. So I like what you're saying about definitely reflecting once you've done it for a while, reflecting on what you're doing, what's working, what's not working for each person in your family. The curiosity piece, I mean, you can't go wrong there, right? When you're curious about what you're doing and what other people are doing. And I do still find, even so, I said, like, you can't really go ask a seasoned homeschooler, how do I do this? But I think having those conversations with other homeschoolers is, I mean, that's where I've gained the most, is just hearing story after story, experience after experience from a variety. So whether it's like what you were saying, like unschoolers, traditional homeschoolers, I pull and I sometimes you hear something and you think right away, I know that won't work for me or for one of my kids. But lots of times I'll hear something that someone else does and yeah, give it a try and it might work for a while. So it really is, for me anyway, taking that time to have those conversations with other people. Or if you don't know, like a lot of home educators in real life, listening to the stories through podcasts and stuff or blog posts. Yeah, I had another thought. I've lost it, but I think it's because we are talking about, I don't know if we'll move away from lists at all, but I want to make sure I share Haley's blog post that I read in preparing for today's conversation, because it was about lists. And this is what I find useful any time of the year to go to these blog posts, but probably especially now, or anytime someone's kind of thinking, because I know sometimes during the year you get into like a little homeschool rut and you're like, oh, we need to figure some things out or rearrange things. And I like to go to posts like this to kind of get a little inspired or some little ideas, or even just to make it a little bit more fun for myself. So Haley posted the one blog post is titled Four Lists to Liven Up Your Home Education Days and Keep You on Track for a Life You Love. And she talks about the joy lists in there, but also project lists and adventure lists, which I think is great for all families, not just home educating families. But she also has in there, because I feel like it's packed with so much stuff, she has a helpful like weekly checklist thing. So for people who are really into lists, I don't do weekly checklists, but it's something that I could do for like a month or so and find it helpful. And she also has in there a self-soothing checklist, which I thought was really great for when, because we always have those harder days in there as well. So to have something like that. And just one other thing I quickly want to point out about that post is she wrote in there, which I don't know how I missed this before, or maybe it slipped my mind, but she talked a little bit about how, and I think this speaks to like the flexibility around home education. And I think it's helpful to remember to keep things flexible if you are in a bit of a planning phase. And she talks about how they, like her family, they choose, if I understood it right, they choose which day to start their week. So what works for their family. And I think in her post, she even shares how that is different for each family member. So for myself, I often think the start of our week, and maybe this is true for a lot of people, I would imagine people who go to like work Monday to Friday, school Monday to Friday, their first day of the week feels like Monday. Ours feels like Sunday because that's the day my husband starts his next shift of work. So it's Sunday feels like our, what I would call Monday. but I thought like that part of her post just kind of pointed out about the flexibility, which I think is probably for any home educating family, like keeping that flexibility in your planning, whether you're writing your lists down, maybe even more so if you're writing it down and putting it on the calendar, like put it down in pencil instead of pen. but even in conversation with the kids, when we write our joy lists, or my youngest likes to write down like ideas of what they would like to do for that season, the upcoming season. And we have conversations about being flexible so that there's understanding that even though we're writing it down, it doesn't mean we're for sure doing it. Keeping that flexibility piece as part of the conversation, what that looks like, what that can feel like, has been helpful too. So anyway, that was a great post of Haley's that I just want to make sure. I think she has a whole separate post on joy lists, but this one tapped into a few different things that I thought might be helpful, but I hope I didn't take us too far away from what you were saying, Erin.
And you know, it's funny that you, what was her wording for keeping on track for a life you love? Is that how that title? Okay. I remember that post, but I don't remember I didn't remember the exact title of it. And it's so funny because I had just posted on something on Instagram a couple of days ago, and I was I think I said something like this time of year, there's so much talk about like getting ready. And, you know, I said something about getting on track or making sure that we have plans to keep on track. And then I think I said, who's track? And it's so funny that you're saying, because the way that that's worded, it's like when we're being purposeful and it's our own, like that to me gives intention and purpose. But exactly what you're saying, it leaves that space and that flexibility, like to be on track for a life you love. When that's, if you're a vision person, if you're a goal sort of person, I think that's so helpful to just have that as your, like, that's the track, a life we love. The whole family, right? Like, how are we taking everybody into consideration and making that work? So anyway, just an aside that I hadn't remembered that was the title, but that, I love that. That's because I do think that the idea of just kind of like floating into the year for some people is not right. It's just not, it's not helpful for them. It's useful for some people to have more of like a vision or some sort of a, so for example, we've never had like a homeschool mantra of any kind or a home education mantra. And I've read posts where people will say, you know, homeschool mantras and why you need one, or, you know, naming your homeschool vision or whatever. And I was just like, that doesn't resonate for me. But I get that it does for some people. So I love just being able to use that kind of vision or like goal setting language, but in a way that makes it clear that the goal is like thriving and living a life that we love. So that's wording is really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. So maybe we could talk a little bit. One of the things that I got thinking about this conversation was the actual school end of things. So just moving away for a minute, although I think it'll be fun to come back to it in different ways probably, but just even thinking aside from looking at what other homeschoolers and unschoolers are doing and world schoolers and all those different people, aside from fear of missing out on what they're doing, just the fact that we're choosing not to go to school, or, you know, we're choosing for our children not to go to school, that in and of itself can bring up, I think it's a couple things. I think there is a literal fear of missing out that can happen. But I think even once you've gotten a little bit more into your homeschooling or your unschooling years, and you can see how much richness is in your life, so you maybe don't have those fears coming up in quite the same way, there can still be like conversations with people can still be difficult. There can still be a little bit of a sense of like, I know that what we're doing works for us, but there's still a little bit of a twinge, I think, during some of those, whether it's first day of school, whether it's, you know, starting high school, or, you know, just some of these different milestones.
Yeah.
And I got thinking about how this whole like idea of back to school, there's so much loaded in that is just so much of a construct rather than a reality. And like so much of it, I think, is marketing. And like there's a lot of, you know, marketing materialism type pieces that creep in there around, you know, just, I don't know, the back to school, the promotional stuff, the sales, the fact that you're in a store 2 months before school starts and it's, they've already got the stuff out and marketed. And a lot of it is really fun and cool looking, right? Yeah. So not just to our kids, but maybe even to us, right? Mm-hmm. Like who doesn't like a new set of pencil crayons?
Exactly.
You know, the colors are all organized. They're not all uneven.
Yeah. Very appealing.
Right. And just like the fresh notebooks. And so there's just this idea of like renewal and something starting anew and something fresh. And so it's enticing. And I think particularly, maybe not for all kids, but for certain kids, that's enticing too, right? You're looking at all this new stuff. And I mean, there's no, I guess to think of a practical, there's no reason not to get some of that stuff. Well, there might be a space reason, or there might be a financial reason, but I guess, I mean, there's no like philosophical reason that we still use those things. There's no reason we can't still have pencil crayons, but this idea that there's like a time of the year that you get all this fresh stuff is just kind of interesting. And I think too, I got thinking about the idea that we kind of build up this time of year as a newness for almost everything. So even like clothes, like mm-hmm. back to school clothes. And there's sort of this joke about, you know, kids are wearing all these fancy, like heavy fall clothes. And it's usually pretty, even here in Canada, it's usually pretty warm still.
Oh, the first
September, right? Like it might not be hot, hot, but it's probably too warm for your really beautiful sweater or whatever.
Yeah.
Right. And so even just thinking about it, how funny that is that we have this idea of like new clothes and really how impractical in a lot of ways, because it just because it's September, that doesn't necessarily follow growth spurts or, mm-hmm. And I was I was thinking about even books that I used to read as a I want to say maybe like those preteen type books, kind of those young adult. And, you know, it would be the idea of everybody coming back, arriving back to school after the summer holidays. And it always made it seem like it was this whole new era. And I think maybe just with my age now, I'm like, here, like it's 8 or 9 weeks.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But somehow they make it seem like the months of July and August are somehow magically different from March and April. Do you know what I mean? And, yes. And they're like, you know, they'd be seeing their best friend for the first time since, you know, the end of the last year, and the person had grown 7 inches.
Yeah.
Like, just because it was July.
Yeah.
But there's even that, like, even it's even integrated in like, yeah, our books, our movies, this idea of like the new school year. So I just wanted to say that because I think it's a really powerful cultural image. And it even adult activities tend to follow the school year in that there's new signups for, I mean, even if you're a senior citizen, there's just things are fresh in September. And I'm not sure, some of that might not be related to school, but I feel like a lot of it is.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I feel like a lot of it is so much of our society is kind of tied into that school year. And so, I mean, it is what it is, but it's just interesting to think about subconsciously, even that messaging.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's helpful to be aware of it, right? And just how you're mentioning the books, like the media. I mean, I'm noticing that a lot we're starting to read more and more of those books, and they're all based around the school year. It's hard to get away from it. And so I've been thinking not only kids' picture books, but, the young reader novels and whatnot. We need a lot more diversity in those books because they are all centered around school, which I understand why. But that doesn't work so great. It's not as relatable for our home educated kids. And I think you're right. It is very much a social construct. And you can see looking back how it got this way, but definitely a big part of it is to sell things and to just, I'm thinking like as you were talking about how every year I wanted a clean, brand new backpack, which I clearly, well, I didn't get one every year you don't need a new backpack every year. That'd be so many backpacks. That's just extremely wasteful for one kid. But yeah, the new shoes, as if your feet are the next size as of September, when we start our school year here. It does. There's a lot to be sold there. And it is what it is. But it's helpful, I think, to be aware of it. And I know we started having those conversations a little bit more and more. I think my two, so they're almost 11 and 8, they don't notice it nearly as much as I do. I mean, they're probably seeing some advertisements. They're not in those stores a lot. I will get excited about the new stationery. They will not. So I will go in and I certainly notice. I mean, it's already been out for weeks here. And they're on sale. So you grab that stuff because that's when they're on sale. But I'm not buying, and you're right, I mean, we use backpacks, but I'm not buying new backpacks. And it's helpful because my two, that's not something they're into or not something they're into now. But it's very much kind of sold to us. And it's kind of, yeah, like a shiny new year. And who are you going to be this year? And you know, not that there can be some excitement in there. There can be some fun in there. It's not all awful, but I think we want to be mindful of the messages we're getting around there and what it means. And for us, I feel for our family, it's just another part of the year. And our kids so far don't seem to notice it too much, but I know that that'll change as they start to get older. But it is very frustrating when we're reading those books together and it's all centered around back to school and stuff because it's just not relatable to them.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And thank you for mentioning that backpack thing, Ashley. I think that helped me put something in perspective. Because I have this story from, and I bring it up sometimes and joke with my family, but like my family of origin, because I was a kid who, so, you know, my dad in particular, but my parents were pretty practical, but like, so not from the type of family, like not really from like a throwaway family, let me put it that way, right? So I had in my mind, because I saw lots of kids, they would always get a brand new, like in the 80s, the lunch boxes were the big thing. And they were like the big, I don't know what other people listening, what their experience was, but it was like a big plastic, had a thermos on the one side. That, yeah. So I had, I mean, I can see it so clearly. It was orange lunchbox and it had the Muppets on the front of it, which I loved the Muppets at the time. So that was fine. But then over the year or two, because it has like that paper, it had like the paper picture on the front and, you know, it, that stuff starts to peel off and it wasn't looking too great.
Yeah.
And it's so funny because I really, as a kid, I had this real sense of like, what's the word I'm looking for? Like deprivation almost. Mm. I was not getting a new, and you know, then it was grade two and no new lunchbox and grade three, no new lunchbox. And I think I eventually got one maybe a year or two later. But that, I mean, that is a game that very much like consumerism marketing thing, because, and that really worked for me because in my mind, I was like, it's a new year and I don't have a new lunchbox. But you're right. How many backpacks do we need? How many lunchboxes do we need? But
it's understandable. I just want to jump in quick because I do want, yeah, with what I said, I realized I didn't, it is understandable because as a kid, you're going into this environment where you do see, and I wonder if this is more of a thing now than it used to be. I'm not sure. You see the other kids showing up with the new backpacks, the new shoes, the new outfits, the new lunchbox. I think a big thing last year I was seeing, oh, and I'm not a trendy person, so I'm putting my foot in my mouth, so I'm not sure what it's called. I don't know if it was a Yeti mug or there was something, a special water bottle or something that was like really trendy and popular. And, you know, the kids who had them were the cool
was
kids,
it the
I guess.
Whole- Stanley thing? Was it
Stanley?
The
thank you. Yeah. It was the Stanley. Yeah. See, I don't know. I shouldn't have gone down. I shouldn't have told that example. But I was listening to one mom share how I think her daughter was given one and went to school, but then she found out that there were other kids that were kind of being made fun of or whatnot because they didn't have one. It became a real thing. And yeah, the mom had like some conversations with the daughter about it and stuff, because that does happen, right? Like they are going to school with other people. And it's very understandable that as a kid, you don't want to feel, I don't know, you don't want to be made fun of or be put in a spot because you don't have a new backpack or whatever it is. So that's really understandable. I don't blame, you know, kids for feeling that way. It's the environment that they're going into. But that's where I think parents can play such a big role in that area. So sorry, I didn't want to interrupt your train of thought.
I think that's all really, really true. And I think it's kind of funny now because when we have these conversations and my parents have been like, oh, you know, we didn't know that. We're so sorry. Like, I don't think I really verbalized it, but right. It was just, I think it comes down to that idea that you mentioned around like, it's a new year and everything, you know, like, who do I want to be this year? Well, yeah. I want to have a brand new, I want to walk in with a really fresh lunchbox.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think that's some of the stuff that we can think about, you know, from our own childhood or on behalf of our kids. And then I think that there's obviously the idea of fear of missing out of maybe some of the resources that schools can provide, whether that's literally like testing and things. When I mean testing, I don't mean our kids taking tests, but like maybe psychoeducational assessments, things like that, where parents are maybe looking for some additional resources for their child's learning or their child's development in some way, or whether it's some of the access to teams or, you know, higher level science equipment. Like I'm doing my mental list of all the things people told me my kids would miss out on.
Right.
Right. What are they all again? Yeah. But there are those things, right? And so there is that sense that then if you're home educating, like, okay, like I need to figure out how to create those, or I need to figure out how to find an alternative. And I think that some of those things are things that maybe one or some of our kids or all of our kids might enjoy or benefit from. And so then we do kind of dig in and do what we can to find ways to either, you know, maybe do something slightly different or replicate them or whatever. But then sometimes I think too, we're assuming that that's something that our child would, that that's even an opportunity that they would want to take advantage of, or we're assuming that the way the school does it is even, so like just because your child has maybe a real interest in a particular sport or acting or something like that, that doesn't mean that the school's way of doing it is the only, mm-hmm. only way. And I think the other piece of this, we may in fact find that actually our kids aren't missing out on pursuing their interest, because in school, there's only so many kids make a team. Mm-hmm. Or I know some of the things that have happened in our province the last maybe decade or so with various strikes and things like that. Maybe there's a decision that teachers aren't even offering lunchtime sports, or like we can assume that our kids are going to get this package deal at school. And in fact, sometimes we can actually, like, we're probably not going to go on strike.
Yeah.
Like, you know, there's stuff that happens. Maybe our homeschool group, we lose them, or people move mm-hmm. away, or whatever. There's always going to be those variables, but we do have a lot more control over helping our children access, you know, maybe they're not going to be the best basketball player, but maybe we can find another way for them to explore that. And maybe that's actually even better for them. Or maybe they have such an incredible strength that we can have the time and flexibility to help them really pursue a sport at a level that they wouldn't have time to do at school. So I just think it can be helpful maybe to move away from that idea that school is a package deal, mm-hmm. And to acknowledge that. So if I'm thinking about the fear of missing out, well, we will miss out on some things. There's no way that any of us in our lives can have every single thing that everybody else has. So just even naming that as a reality, mm-hmm. there are some things that my kids have, there are some opportunities that my kids have missed out on by not choosing school. That just is what it is. I don't think we always need to be in like hyper compensation mode,
right?
Or defensive, or
like
that's where I think things can get messy and break down a little bit for us, is just, let's just name it. Yeah. There will be some gaps. We'll miss some stuff.
Yeah. And I think having those conversations with the kids over the years is helpful for everyone, because you're right. There's always, even when you're out of your school years, there's always going to be something you miss out on. It makes me think of that. Like every time you say no to something, you can say yes to something else, because you can't do everything. And I remember feeling that as a kid. I spent a lot of years in dance classes, which I loved. And eventually it resulted in me actually quitting because I had a fear of missing out on other things. I had spent years spending many nights at the dance studio, which I did like, but I thought, oh my gosh, like there's so many other things I could be trying. And it missing something, not kind of realizing at 12 or 13 that you're always going to be missing out on something, and kind of learning how to have that, just sit with that discomfort a bit. But also it had me thinking about, yes, like what you were saying, our kids are going to miss out on some things when they don't go to school, the good and the bad. But if they went to school, they'd be missing out on things because they wouldn't be home educating. Like you were just talking about, like I know lots of times home educated kids are really able to dive into their strengths or their passions because home education, there's just more time. Whereas if they're in school, yeah, they might be, you know, be on the basketball team or something. But that only takes up a certain amount of time, and they're in school the rest of the time. So if they're out of school, they have that extra time. So it's kind of thinking about like, because we get asked that, right? Like our kids are like, aren't you worried about missing out? And I think the answer can be like, well, yeah, like a little bit, you know, I am a little bit worried about what I might miss out on, but it's remembering that like, if I were to go to school, there's other things you would miss out on. So I think that that can be helpful. Yeah.
Yeah, no, exactly. And I think, you know, depending on where you live and what your situation is, there are families that still take advantage of the sports programs or the music programs. Mm-hmm. So sometimes we're maybe not even, maybe our options are a little bit wider than we even realize that they are. But I like the way that, I don't know, I just like the spirit that you kind of said that in, because it's just like, yeah, you know, this is the reality. And yet this is what we're choosing right now. And yeah, I don't know. There's just something about kind of naming it and also naming what our choices are, like what's working for us, that just feels a little bit less kind of like cowering in the corner that mm-hmm. we're not enough, and mm-hmm. more being like, yeah, you know, this is imperfect, but this is what we're embarking upon, or this is kind of what we're continuing, mm-hmm. depending on what stage you're at. Mm-hmm. I was thinking about the idea that sometimes it's not, I think by the time that parents make the decision to homeschool, it's not, I mean, yes, there's lingering doubts. I think always, I think there's, you know, I just feel there's always, yeah. That's kind of who we are as people. right. But I think that for the most part, once people come to that decision, they can often be feeling pretty good about it, but there's still that sense of like, so for example, when my oldest became school age, which is not very old, he was, you know, here it's like three. Mm-hmm. I think he would have been, I can't quite remember if the year he started, I don't think they had full day, or they didn't have full day every day junior kindergarten, but okay. Here now, no, I think it was almost that year, because he was turning four, like the end of September. And so school was starting the beginning of September. He would technically have been three. Mm-hmm. And even though on the one hand, like he seemed so young, and I was really pretty clear, you know, my husband and I had been talking about it for a while and talking to other people for a while. So it wasn't like a brand new decision. I'd actually been thinking about this since he was about 3 months old and I first heard about homeschooling. Mm-hmm. And then I'm a reading person, right? So I was reading all this stuff and I was like, oh, this just is so in line with both kind of how I feel I would have learned best and what I think would suit his personality really well. So I was quite convicted about home education by the time that September rolled around. But still, there's some grief in seeing the other kids. So we're not in a bus. So for me growing up, it would have been the school bus going by. But mm-hmm. here, it's like the kids walking. It's like the kids walking by, right? And the parents and the kids and just with the new backpack, as we were talking about, or I mean, that did come to mind. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah,
I was like, no, you'd have to, you know, all the stuff, the accessories, and just that sense of like, I don't know. And when you think about it, it's kind of ridiculous. But there is this real cultural milestone, not even just of going to school, but the first day and the first day of your school ever. You know what I mean? Like, and so there was still that grief for me. And I got thinking about, like, I do read about this a lot from different people. And so what are some of the practical things that help people, even though they're convicted about homeschooling and they don't really have a fear of missing out of school itself? It's just like, how do we take a deep breath and get over that hump, kind of? Do you know what I mean? And just sort of, once we get over this initial piece. And I think that that's where, you know, you read a lot about it being helpful for people to have like the not going back to school picnics, which would be, you know, maybe their regional first day of school, they just get together with the homeschool community. Or maybe, you know, if you don't have a big homeschool community, maybe it's like a few families and you know, we used to do like a picnic with several people and we used to do like a first day of school thing. And I did find that really helpful. I found it like, even
as my kids got a little bit older, if they were coming out of like the soccer season or something, and all the kids are talking about going back to school, it did, I'm going to say, schoolify it a little bit, even though it was a not going back to school picnic.
Yeah.
It was just the idea that they had something to mark this, like, as you're saying, like this fresh new kind of time of the year. So, you know, I think I did find that helpful. And I've read about people who they maybe aren't necessarily wanting to get together with a community, but they just do something as a family to mark it. So they have like annual donut day, or they do, you know, just something that makes it a little bit special, or it just sets it aside a little bit. And it's funny because I feel like there's another option to this too, which is just to, if your life is so, or maybe what you're doing that week is so far from your kind of the conventional routine anyway, that it almost just doesn't matter. So for example, the first day of my older son's, what would have been like his first day of high school, which here is grade 9, we happened to be at Great Wolf Lodge. So, and it wasn't planned. It was planned because the price was lower because, right, the summer holidays.
Yeah.
And we were thinking like, we're going to get so many water slide times in because the crowds will be, you know, but you know, there's lots of homeschoolers.
Yeah.
Anyway, but still it's less than the regular summer holiday. So it was purely practical from our perspective. It was purely like, this would be a great week to go. But in saying that, it did, I just think it's almost like we weren't even home anyway. So it wouldn't have been an option. So it was like, we just totally, I was thinking that even for my daughters, I think it was like, and I suddenly realized it. It wasn't done on purpose, but I was thinking this could be helpful. I think it was like the first day of what would be like her senior year of high school kind of thing. And we were camping. And so I wonder if that's different for example, world schoolers. Their life is so far, and it changes maybe every few weeks.
Right.
They're not even in that zone of seeing their local bus go by, or like they've completely opted out of that zone. So yeah, I just got thinking about how those kind of ways of thinking of things can be helpful to just kind of help us get a foot into the conventional school year, if that's something that's bothering people a little bit, or maybe they have families on their back, whatever.
Yeah, I think it depends on who it's bothering, right? So for different families it would look different. Sometimes it would be bothering maybe just the parents or just mom thinking about these things and noticing these things. And it's helpful to do something like that for mom. And maybe the kids would be fine either way. Or maybe one of your kids, has like a best friend that's talking about back to school or something. And you need to think of something, a way to capture that excitement, I think. Like, that's what it would have been for me, is remembering that there was that back to school excitement. But you can capture that in different ways. And I think like the different ways that you would do it would depend on who's bothered most by maybe that time of year and like what would help them. I know I've seen the other thing, not at the very beginning of the school year, but another thing that I think this again would probably more so be for the parents, fear of missing out, but like the school photos. I usually see a couple times a year in our homeschool, like Facebook groups and stuff, someone will post, you know, who's organizing pictures. And some of them will even look very schooly. And I understand that, like we don't do that. But one thing that I like to try and do is take a picture kind of outside at the beginning of every year. I failed at doing this, though. I haven't actually done it every year. I really like it because it's a marker on the calendar to like capture the growth. I mean, it's the same with, I tried to get my kids to keep going and getting their picture with Santa every year, because it was just to capture that growth. And I think, but that's an easy thing that, I mean, fairly easy. There's usually enough photographers out there that someone can organize taking school pictures for the homeschool group. Another thing we see here, again, not for the beginning of the school year, but we've not gone. But I think it's a pretty big turnout from what I gather for like a track and field day for homeschool families. So that's just another thing that yeah, you would typically do if you were in school. But yeah, might miss out on if you don't go to school. So they've organized that here. You can do track and field if that's something your child's interested in. There's something else I was thinking when you were talking, but it's escaped me now. So yeah, it's not coming back to me. Maybe it will after.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah. We did the track and field. We didn't do the school pictures, but the track and field thing. Yeah, it's exactly what you're saying. But I did know people who did the school pictures, and I think it makes sense. And, you know, even from a extended family perspective, if you have grandparents that have all the cousins, you know, they'll have them all. It's nice, right? It's nice to be part of that. So I do think that, yeah, there's lots of ways. Did it come back to you?
It came back to me. I was thinking, because I've heard other people share this too, and just with what we were sharing earlier, I don't think we've said this already, but that's another way with going back to school, like another practical thing. If whoever in the family is needing to capture a little bit of that excitement, you can go on a back to school or a not back to school shopping trip, you know, if your budget allows it, and you can go get that new backpack, or you can get your new homeschool supplies. Like that's okay. And kind of, you know, again, if your budget allows, an easy thing to do. And I think sometimes you hear that from especially younger kids, like, well, maybe I want to go back to school. And it's like digging in a little deeper to find out that they actually just want new pencil crayons or a backpack or a lunch box, or maybe you get fresh water bottles for the year or something, or maybe the fun back to school snacks that you don't usually buy.
Yes.
Right. Like you can still do a lot of those things. Because I think a lot of it is like the image of back to school and what it looks like, or, you know, maybe it's like sending your little one off on the school bus. Not that everyone takes a school bus, but I know that was something that different times my two were excited about, you know, the bigger vehicle. So it's like, well, you can go on a city bus and go anywhere. So it's kind of like being creative, I think, and like there's so many different ways that you can but you can still go do the schooly things, some of them anyway, if that helps. Like there's no rule saying you can't go get that new backpack.
No, exactly. Just thinking too, Ashley, about the I guess for us as parents, the academic end of things. Well, maybe academic is too broad. I think that's part of it, academic, but also the, I don't know, just like the richness of our days and the idea of like, are we doing enough? Mm-hmm. And is that something that school could offer differently? Or, you know, is that something that a different style of homeschooling could offer? Or are we pretty happy with kind of the way we're like with our philosophy, but maybe we see other families following the same kind of philosophy and lifestyle, but it feels like somehow it's like working better for them, or, you know, something just seems to be flowing in a way and we're not quite sure that we're, that it's flowing that way for us. And I think it really does usually come back to that question of like, what is enough? Mm-hmm. Are we, you know, because we love our kids, we want the best for our kids. And so you're kind of playing this guessing game a little bit of, like, yeah, like what's enough? And in what doses and at what pacing and just the flow of things. Mm-hmm. So I think that's another piece, that we can just really, we want the best for our kids. And so are we afraid that there's some pieces that we're missing in offering that, right? Mm-hmm. Like I don't know if you felt that at all when you, I guess you guys kind of began during the pandemic. Mm-hmm. So it was kind of a bit of a weird time probably to start in with, but I mean, I imagine you had some of that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do think it was helpful that it was during the pandemic for us because there wasn't a lot going on. I think we would have had a really different experience if it hadn't been during that time, but things were just a lot slower then. So there wasn't all the things to be looking at. And because my eldest was still in school that year, the teacher had like had set up a classroom basically online. So I didn't even have the fear of like, oh my gosh, what are we going to do? I have to start researching curriculum because the teacher was providing stuff. So we were able to kind of gently explore what learning at home looked like that way, which allowed, like, that experience allowed me to realize that I didn't need to be researching a bunch of curriculum, thankfully, because, oh my gosh, that alone can be so, so overwhelming. But no, everything was slower, which helped us a lot, because we, through that experience, I was like, this is what works. This is what's needed. Not that we didn't have some worries and fears. But I would say that that kind of started to come quite a bit later. And it probably helped because my kids were quite young. So they would have been like about 6 and just turned 4, not even. So they were really young. So if they had been a bit older too, I might have had some more worries about where they were, like, academically and stuff too. But it makes me think about some of your blog posts that I read recently too, that really fit into what we found early on with just being more intentional and kind of slower. And I know some of you, I don't, you might remember, because I did jot some down, and I think they're super helpful for people, especially if anyone does feel overwhelming. You have some blog posts that are really helpful that I've gone back to a number of times. The one was that I think you had sent was, life is already full, moving away from the fear of missing out. I feel like people have to go check that one out if this is something that's been on their mind, because that's just a good place to start. But now I don't know if I have your titles right, but you had at least 3 that I was like, this is what we're talking about. And as what is what I have found most helpful with just keeping things in perspective and keeping things, like, it's okay to have a slower pace way of this, and helps if you feel like, am I doing enough? So are we looking from the perspective of a child? Really good for, like, if you have younger kids as well. But and I know it's around here anyway, I'm seeing a lot, like a lot of younger families where their children are just entering school age and they're starting off with homeschool, and they're giving that a try. And I think that can be a pretty different experience. And they feel like, well, this is your first school year, so it's going to look, you know, it has to look quite different, when really we know it doesn't. You can kind of just continue on. And I think thinking from your child's perspective, like, that can be so helpful. And that's not just for younger kids. I mean, mine are almost 11 and 8. So not, you know, not super old, but not really little anymore. And just one example I had, my 8-year-old, who is one who likes to kind of have some plans to look forward to and, you know, jot down ideas of what they want to do that season. It is still, I mean, don't get me wrong, right now he's talking about he wants to do a family trip to Jamaica. So he would be a world schooler, but he also loves the ordinary things. So, like, right now at 8 years old, going out to have a meal at a restaurant, not that that's the most ordinary thing. I mean, that's a little bit fancier or whatever, but that's the highlight of the week. Like, if you take him out for a full meal at a restaurant, oh my gosh, if you get dessert too, like, that's just like, that's all the excitement that's needed that week. But yeah, you had that one post, are you looking from the perspective of a child, I thought was so helpful. But you also had one, I think I didn't highlight the titles, but I think the other one I looked at was called A Piece of Ordinary.
I remember. Yeah,
like a little bit different than what we're talking about today, but I think was still really helpful at kind of like the my part of my why as to why I like to be intentional and slower paced. Because it allows you to stay, like you talk in that post about staying present in the moment when other, like, real life things are going on, because life is not slow. Even when you try, it can fill up easily and quickly and things are happening. So I really liked that piece. And I have to apologize because I had some others that I thought, I think in your blog post, if people go to those ones, you've linked the other ones that I found.
Okay.
But it gets into that. Yeah, just being intentional. I think the one you talked about, like marking down the things that you are going to do, like the everyday things that you're going to do on the calendar, like the ordinary things, like if there's a day that you usually like to go for a hike, mark that down on the calendar. Or like if there's a day that you typically visit the library, mark that down on the calendar. Like it's something that you maybe don't have to put on the calendar. You're just going to do it anyway. Or if you don't do it, it doesn't matter. But like, that's how I read it anyway. And that is something that I find helpful. And when I write it all down, whether I write it down before or after, because you know, I write those things down after we do it too. It feels like we're not doing a whole lot and it can feel like slow in a good way. But when I write it all down, I'm just like, oh my gosh, how did we do so much? And it is all mostly ordinary things. So I found those pieces really helpful around this stuff.
Yeah, well, and you, the way that you interpreted it was exactly the way that I meant that I meant that was, yeah, just putting those, like, you're probably not going to forget that you tend to go to the library on Thursdays for sure, but just, you know, especially if it's maybe a time of the year where you're feeling a little wobbly or whatever, just really kind of, yeah, putting that stuff down so that it's in front of you. And kind of taking stock of like, oh, there's, and you know, these could be, I don't know, like just even community festivals that happen every year. And so you think, well, we're not going to forget that it's Long May weekend or whatever, but it's just by putting it down, it really does help you see how full things are. And I wonder too, I think sometimes it's helped me also not overbook. Because yeah. I can have a tendency to think, well, there's nothing new on my brain because those things are all sort of autopilot weekly events. Mm-hmm. But that's enough. Yes. And adding that extra piece in that kind of throws us off kilter because it's like, oh no, we were actually good. You know, just because there's nothing novel this week doesn't mean that we have the energy for something novel this week, yeah. Right? So maybe it's just good from that perspective too. And Ashley, I remembered the conversation that you and I had. You were hosting the Clubhouse room and the topic was, I think the topic was strewing. Yeah. But I think so this is related to strewing. Like it has strewing in it, but I think we can look at it more sort of like widely than strewing as well. Something that I have kind of found helpful to do for myself. And it's a little bit of backwards thinking, the way that you talk about doing like your backwards planning. But I've also shared it with a few younger families as well. And I think they're finding it helpful. It's just the idea that, you know, it might be kind of fun to take a look back. It could be your day. It could be your week. It could even be your month, because sometimes I think it takes longer to, I don't know, sometimes looking at the big picture of something can help you sort of see those patterns a little bit more clearly. Yeah. But I like to look back and think about, okay, so kind of in if you picture like three categories, I guess, what is my child bringing to our day or our week? And those are maybe things that, excuse me, that those might be ideas that they have. They might be interests or passions that we're already engaged with. But like just looking at, if I look at the things we did this week, you know, what are the different ideas and the different pieces that my kids are bringing to the table and that I want to support or that are just keeping them engaged? Maybe there's not even anything for me to do, but like, if I look at the richness of their life, how much of it is coming from them? Mm-hmm. And then another sort of, I guess, column or whatever could be, what am I bringing to the table? So what am I, you know, we can talk about strewing, like what am I strewing? But we don't even have to use specific words like strewing. It's like, what ideas am I bringing forward? What plans kind of am I making for the family? What am I encouraging? What am I bringing mm-hmm. in? And then the third category, which was really eye-opening for me, and this was where I actually was able to make a few changes, what is life presenting? Because that could be anything from like a big snowfall and it's like, oh, we can go tobogganing. Or it could be, and you know, you get invited to a family reunion or something. And so we're often just thinking that's something separate from our learning or our life, but all of those opportunities actually are rich ones. And sometimes those conversations carry in through the week or whatever. For me, I had an aha moment for that. We received something in the mail from a hospital, and it was a hospital that my father-in-law had been in. And we must have
made a little donation. I can't remember exactly why they had us on their radar, but anyway, and it had these beautiful, it was like a cutout craft of doves, and they were going to be hanging all these doves. And there was a period in kind of our lives, which I would have looked at that and thought, oh, that looks like something that, you know, my daughter might like to do, or my son might like to do. And I would have kind of left it sitting on the table because we just wouldn't get to it. Cause we would have all of our own, we'd have so many other things planned. And that was like one of the first moments where I was like, no, this could actually, this could be our hour right now. We could figure out how to do this and do this. And then of course you mail it in. Like there's, it's never just doing it. There's all these other steps, right? And that's why I often just push that stuff to the side. Mm-hmm. But I was like, but what if we actually take advantage of the things that life is presenting us? And I got thinking about, and I think I did incorporate this one in one of the posts, when my daughter, she was in a performance choir, and there was a lot of, there was just a lot of things, events. Mm-hmm. And often it would be maybe like, there'd be like a Christmas concert, then a Christmas party, then a holiday gift exchange or whatever. And these would be things that we would be like, maybe on our way back from a field trip at a museum. And I'd be like, oh, we need to stop quickly and buy the thing for the Secret Santa exchange. And we would be tacking these things on to the end of what we'd already planned. Right. But then I thought, okay, but what if I anticipate, like, that's something that life is actually bringing us. If I look at her choir schedule, mm-hmm. we know there's going to be like a potluck for the holiday dinner. We know there's going to be a Secret Santa exchange. So what if instead of kind of just tacking that on to what we already have planned, what if that is our afternoon? We're making the cookies. We're going to buy the Secret Santa thing, but we're choosing it with more intention. Mm-hmm. And maybe we're packaging it in a really fun way because we're doing it more intentionally. So that to me was something where I realized that the stuff that life was bringing us, I was not incorporating that as I was trying to facilitate. I was very much working with what my kids were interested in. I was definitely working with my own ideas. We all like to do that. Right. So, but I wasn't the stuff that life was bringing. I was just like, oh yeah, we'll get that done on the way. Right. We'll get that, finish this. Right. So I found that a helpful practice. And I found that also sometimes we can look at those patterns and we can realize that one is not looking very hefty anymore. And maybe we're not listening very much to what our kids are bringing to the table, or maybe we're rushing through life, or maybe we've gotten a bit stale with our own ideas. But it's just like, it just was a way, I guess, of me recognizing that, no, there was a lot of opportunity in the week, a mm-hmm. lot of opportunities. But a little bit beyond just making that blanket statement, oh, life is so full of learning opportunities. Well, right. Yeah. Because I think we read that narrative, right? Mm-hmm. Oh, through life. Well, okay, but what does that look like? right? So what does that look like concretely for our family? I think helpful rather than just like, it's our lifestyle.
Learning happens everywhere all the time. Yes, it does.
Right?
So. Yeah. I think that's a really, really helpful practice. Like I'm thinking, because it does still happen, right? Where you get to kind of like that rut in homeschooling, or you feel like things just aren't flowing, or whatever it is, something's feeling off. And it usually isn't, you know, the start of September when everybody's, or maybe it is for some people, but it's, it's maybe when inspiration's low, or the kids aren't getting along as much, or things feel too busy, or maybe not busy enough. I think that would be such a good practice, because I like the columns or the categories, because I think it means that if you're kind of being mindful with that stuff, then everyone's needs are being met enough, and everybody's given enough time and space to do the things that they want to do. Because it can be hard, unless you're really paying close attention, you might not notice it's actually like me as the mom bringing so much to the table, and I'm filling up our calendar and our days with so much stuff that I think makes a lot of sense. And maybe some of it the kids really love, but it's not leaving enough time and space for whatever it is that their brain is wanting them to do that week or that month. And then their needs are kind of not being met in that way. Or it could go, like what you were kind of saying as far as like what life brings you, which I love that, because I think lots of times we don't, it's easy to kind of forget about that. And we feel like we're taking on this responsibility and we have to make sure that we're planning enough and we're giving them all those opportunities and stuff. And, you know, that's not bad, but we can kind of maybe rest a little bit in knowing that life will bring those things, but we do have to make sure that there's time and space for it. And I think, yeah, like that's like, I love that. And it does continue to happen where things just come up. And I was, as you were talking, I was kind of also trying to think of an example, because I know that's happened, and I actually didn't think of an example, which is fine, because you shared some that worked so beautifully. But I was also thinking too about how, like, right now the Summer Olympics is on. So like, there's something that's just happened in life that we can tap into, which I know so many home education families are, and all families are probably doing right now, because it's just there. You can put it on, you can talk about it, you can do a whole bunch of things around the Olympics. We actually, the point I'm wanting to make, I guess, with this is to kind of get permission or say, like, it's okay if you don't tap into those life things as well, because there is actually, once you start paying attention and really noticing, there's so many different things that are happening. The Olympics is just one example because it's happening right now. I'm trying to think of like another big like world life example that I could use. But I mean, maybe even just like taking fall as an example. I know parents of younger ones tend to like, oh, we have to go apple picking and we have to go to the pumpkin orchard and we have to do the fall crafts or whatever it is. It's okay to not tap into those things as well. It's kind of picking and choosing what makes sense. Cause I think sometimes there's that pressure. Oh, the Olympics are on. Oh my gosh. Like my kids don't really know about the Olympics. Well, the Olympics will come back. Or maybe your family doesn't agree with the Olympics, or maybe your kids are not interested in the Olympics this time, but they will be next time. So yeah, it just kind of made me think a little bit about that there's so much in life that can be so helpful. But then of course there's some things where, cause there's certain things, like I know, like I'll be around other families and they're talking about all the things that they're doing with, this hasn't happened with the Olympics, but I know it's happened with other things before. And I've kind of thought, oh my gosh, like my kids don't even know that that's happening right now. And you kind of feel like, oh, I'm failing as, you know, a homeschool parent. We haven't even touched that. But that's okay. There's probably, it's left space open for something else that makes sense at that time. And you can always, especially when it comes to like special occasions. I think I did a post a while back, and maybe it was about fall, because we get so excited and there's all the different opportunities, and we do care and we want, you know, our kids to have all these positive experiences that life does provide. There's only so much time. There's only so much money. There's only so much energy. So I was also just kind of thinking on the flip side of that too. But it goes back to what you were saying, I think, with being intentional and mindful. And when you slow down and you look at the different life events that come up, you can then decide, does this fit right now? Or does this work right now for us? And sometimes it will. And like you said, you can turn it into this like really cool, nice little experience. And other times it passes by. And that can be okay too.
Yeah. Oh no, all of that. Sometimes it just has to be okay, right? It could be there's other life circumstances that happen and we do miss something that we were looking forward to, or in hindsight we think, oh, that would have been, but that's just part of life.
Yeah.
And right. And I feel like maybe, you know, as home educating parents, do we hold pretty tightly to some of that stuff because maybe we're compensating already? So it's just like, I don't know. Like, it's life is not supposed to, well, who am I to say what life is supposed to be?
Say it, Erin. Tell us.
I'll tell you, Ashley, here we go. No, but it's not, my feeling is that, you know, when we talk a lot when we talk about self-directed education and unschooling, there's always this idea that it's, you know, it's how people originally lived all over the world. People just lived and learned before we kind of had this formalized school system. And so that is true, but they literally were just living their lives. That's what I think. I wasn't there, right? But I don't think that anybody in any corner of the world was going, oh man, you know, how many things can I present to my kids this week? Mm-hmm. Or did so-and-so get absolutely every ounce of their passion to do this met this week? Like, that just isn't what people did. They were moving through their lives and, you know, gathering food. And so I almost think that we're in this zone now where we're so modernized that we have this, I guess, open time and space to try to make everything perfect. Yeah. And it just isn't, right? It isn't fully possible. Do you have 5 more minutes, Ashley? I'm aware of your...
Yeah, mics are fine still.
Yeah, okay. I just wanted to talk, just kind of touch on this at least before we logged off, because I feel like there's pieces of this we could dive into more deeply, but yeah. Just kind of keeping on this idea of fear of missing out, if we're thinking about it, I guess the standard school stuff, the academic stuff, and mm-hmm. just remembering that there's not set times for these things. And I know we say this all the time, but it, you know, I can remember being in like having a psychology professor talking with great bravado at the front of a lecture hall about the idea that there was a set time that children needed to learn to use the toilet, and it was psychologically researched, and if they missed that window at 2 years of age, that was it. What? Because I worked with kids already, right? So I'm like, that doesn't make sense to me. Like that, you know, but he was really, and it's so funny that that sticks in my mind, but that was kind of like my first experience with this person saying, no, these are the developmental stages. And if you miss this stage, you know, you'll never. And I mean, all of my kids proved that theory wrong. Nobody here was toilet trained right at 2.
Yeah.
We just kind of went with what worked for them. Right. So,
yeah.
So it was kind of interesting just to hear this really. And so I think we have to remember that a lot of school and then a lot of curriculum is based on an alternative to school or replacing school. So even, you know, a lot of curricula is linear. It's step by step, and parents can be super flexible with that. I'm not saying that they can't be, but I think it gets this idea in our head that there is just this order. It has to happen by this time. Kids need to be reading at this point, but they don't. Like we see so many examples of that there's time and there's space. And I find it comforting sometimes to think about the fact that, you know, the standards have changed even since I was there,
yeah.
But my kids will function as an adult, just like I function as an adult with relatively different curriculum
mm-hmm.
and even changing the number of years of school since I was there, things change. So there isn't like this one set way of doing things, or you see, you know, families move, you have international students coming into programs, or you have immigrant families, and like they find ways to integrate, but we are not all coming from the exact same base of knowledge, the exact same timing. And I feel like I'm kind of stating the obvious, but I just feel like we can't say it enough because it is such a sticking point, even when we hear it like 100 times that our child should be doing something at a certain age. And if they're not, it must be because we haven't found the right program.
Right.
Or we should have sent them to school, or we should have created we relied too much on the program. We should have curated our own. And it's just like, there isn't that set time and that same pacing. So again, I know this isn't news to anybody who's probably listening to this, but I just feel like sometimes we have to just keep reminding ourselves and reminding one another of that.
Yeah. There's a lot of, I think it's what you're saying. I almost don't even know what to say, because I just agree with everything you just said. Like it is such a good reminder. I think we do need to continue to remind ourselves as we go along, because even after homeschooling for a while now, as the kids get older, you have these new ideas as to like, what are their peers doing, or what are their school peers doing? And it's just helpful to have that reminder that, you know, for a lot of home educating families, the reason they leave or are not part of the school system is because they don't want to be part of that school system, which, you know, actually even this summer, I haven't thought about this and I haven't talked about this yet, but one of our friends, and they're actually both teachers, he's a high school teacher, and he was just kind of making small talk with I think it was my 8-year-old at the time. And he said like, oh, like, so what grade are you going into this year? Or maybe what grade did you finish? And I looked back because we hadn't been asked that in a while and I didn't want to say anything at first. So I just kind of looked over to watch what would happen. And my 8-year-old kind of thought for a second and then just quickly looked up and said, well, like I homeschool, you know, right? And my friend kind of was like, yeah, no, I know you homeschool, but like what, you know, kind of still like what grade? And so I kind of jumped in. And I almost didn't even know what to say because I know why he's asking this, you know, besides just making small talk and probably not really knowing what else to ask the 8-year-old. But I did kind of, without getting into it, because we were just on a walk and it wasn't going to be a conversation, I just kind of, you know, said what grade and said, I think I just said something like, oh, we don't really focus on like the grade anymore because we've been homeschooling for so long. And I just kind of left it at that. But I've thought about it a little bit afterwards thinking that must have been a weird experience for him. We don't need grades. We don't need to know what grade we're in. I am starting to forget what grade they would be in if they were in school. But his question's coming probably like, well, what curricula do you guys use? Because that must be based on what grade you're in, which would be true for a lot of homeschoolers. So that's fine. But I like when people ask about curriculum, because that is a common one, is like, you know, people who are newer to homeschool, especially, or even just people who are still trying to find that perfect curriculum, they'll ask about it. And one thing I just try to always say is like, hold on to your money. Like just cause that is what I heard a ton. When I first started listening to other people talk about their experience with this was the amount, like the hundreds of dollars that they spent on curricula when they first started and they tried finding what would work and just all the money that was spent. And that kind of just being a regret that people had. So I said like, because I think a lot of people that are new to homeschool feel like I have to have a curriculum in place for the start of the school year. That would be irresponsible if I didn't, right? And I just like to kind of open up that door to say like, you're not in school. You can start your school year whenever you want. And I like to try to direct people, like I know there's that one resource that we have here in Canada, the curriculum checklists, because I understand for a lot of parents, they need something. They're used to something. So it provides them with a checklist of things that they can review, go over. And I find like people start with that type of stuff. And then year after year, some people get further and further away from needing that. But just that reminder that the great thing about home educating is your child can develop at their own pace. You can work on their strengths. The areas that they're maybe weaker in, it's okay if that comes slower. You know, if that means that they're not quick with their numbers right now, well, if that's not hurting them and they don't need it real bad, then let it go for a while. Or if it's reading, right? Like we know so many homeschoolers that they learn to read later. Would that be a problem if they were in school? Yeah, sure. That would create problems, but they're not in school. So it's okay to relax a little bit with that stuff. And I know what you're saying. Like there's so many people who know this. But I think it can just be so helpful to hear that. And it's funny, right? Like how challenging it is, like how challenging it is to pull ourselves away from that school mindset. And we keep saying it, like, it's because we're parents and we just want the best for our kids. And we don't want them to, fall behind. I was like, behind who? But I understand why people have those worries. So I think it's a helpful reminder that it's okay to trust the process, to trust the journey, and like, it will come. But yeah, it's the pressure can be quite big, especially like you mentioned, if you have family members, extended family members asking questions or quizzing your kids and things like that. So yeah.
Yeah. Or, you know, neighbors or teammates, whatever. It just feels like it ramps up, you know, mm-hmm. and as the school. Absolutely. And I think too, and I think I had said this in my Instagram post, it might be helpful. It's not that you have to be totally, you know, I used to find it helpful to look ahead at September and October and just kind of map out our time a little bit, like mm-hmm. weeks. Some of that stuff is seasonal, you know, yeah. we, as much as you're saying, we don't have to feel badly for not doing it 100%, but sometimes there are things that we do want to do and we miss that apple season or we miss that. Yeah. So it's nice sometimes to just map some stuff out. But mapping stuff out doesn't have to be a big purchase right away. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Right. It's just, let's just ease in and kind of see where things are going. So, I don't think I have anything else, Ashley, but you know what? I was just going to think, I will try to remember to link. I feel like this episode is going to have a lot of our own links, but I wanted to link, because I think it's related to this conversation. So it might just be an interesting listen for people. We didn't really touch on but I think we've already talked about it in this other episode. For me, what comes up a lot is like what we offer our kids, like life skills wise, extracurricular, that kind of thing. So I think we did an episode just in the spring, actually, about that idea. I think we talked about swim lessons. We talked about mm-hmm. like dance, learning to drive, all those kinds of things that we can feel like are a load on our mind that, mm-hmm. you know, and that's not always school related exactly, except that a lot of those things, it's the assumption is that they need to be formally done, right? Or mm-hmm. less. Do you think, you know, that's definitely been something for me that I've had to do a lot of work around is that my kind of like what you said about dance, you were dancing, you can't be everywhere else if you're mm-hmm. at the dance studio 4 or 5 nights a week. And I do think that we can just have that parenting fear of missing out of the things we're introducing our kids to. And I think in that conversation, we talked a lot about how, we don't need to offer our children every single thing, but also a lot of that can be managed, or maybe managed is the wrong word, but like facilitated through family and mm-hmm. community and just sort of more natural outlets. So maybe I'll try to link that as well, but I just thought I would mention that episode. But yeah, I think that's it.
There is one other post I want to quickly mention of yours, because I do think it will be helpful for people, because you have a list of low-cost ideas, which I think is helpful to mix in with all the things that people, you know, plan to pay for and stuff. Like I'm thinking like even like memberships to different places too as they're planning their year. But that post, correct me if I'm wrong, I wrote down the title Abundant Family Living on a Budget. And you have that list in there just to get, I know I find those really helpful when I'm filling out the calendar, like, you know, the library visits is such a good example, right? Or even like looking up different local spots you can go to, just in thinking about people who are wanting to, have some stuff planned out, but maybe not wanting to spend a lot, or maybe they've already, you know, kind of spent a lot of their budget on other things, but they feel like they want to add some other things. And it's nice when it's low cost or free, because I feel like you can more easily be flexible with those things too. If you've got them there on the calendar, but if it doesn't work out, no sweat, you can just erase it.
No, I appreciate you mentioning that, because I think that's something that's like that's on my mind. And I know it's on a lot of people's minds a lot, is just how can choice of education be more accessible for people. So, I mean, that post is probably a drop in the bucket, but I think it's, if you're operating with a lower budget, you're also going to be carrying some of that weight as well. Yeah. Right. So that's just like one more element to add to your plate. Around feeling you're doing enough or missing out. So that's a good one to remember. So thank you, Ashley.
Thank you, Erin. This is great.
This is good.
I'm feeling inspired. Now I want to go plan, and I was not feeling that way beforehand. So
there you go.
My 8-year-old will be thrilled.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Well, Thanks so much. And we'll see everybody next, or I guess you'll hear from us next time. So, yeah. All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
And this ends our conversation today. We hope you found it interesting and helpful. If you'd like to connect further or see additional content, Erin can be found on the web and on Instagram at Everlearning. Ashley can be found on Instagram at Ashley as Mama and Storytime Shells. And I, Hayley, can be found on the web and on Instagram at Taking a Kinder Path. We'd love it if you'd share this conversation with anyone you think might like it. And if you've enjoyed this episode, maybe you'd consider leaving us a review. We'd love to hear your thoughts. We're so grateful you made time in your day to listen to us chat. Thanks so much for listening.